I'll start out by stating that the National Teacher Hall of Fame inducted 5 teachers from across the nation into the Hall of Fame. 2 of those 5 teachers were Missouri public school teachers, Daryl Johnson from Smithville and Beth Vernon from Blue Springs. So starting out with the fact that 2 of the 5 teachers recognized nationwide as being qualified to enter that esteemed Hall of Fame was great news. Our graduation rate is up. As you look at our students and their achievements across the state, they're up. And we're looking at school districts where communities are involved in what's happening to students. And that's what we need to see across the state.
Right now, what do you consider Missouri's pressing education issues?
I would say funding, because funding determines so many other pieces. Because we are at a low level of funding, lower than in many recent years, class sizes are increasing, support services, paraprofessionals, custodial services, nursing services, all those are decreasing. And we've got to realize that our kids are coming to school with greater challenges than they've ever had before. And yet the services that schools can provide because of the decreased funding, the services are decreasing as well.
That being the case, every year we hear Governor Nixon say we're spending more on our public schools than ever before. Republican lawmakers that pass the budget say we're spending more than ever before. At the same time, they acknowledge that they are not meeting the full funding formula, but they say that every year it is going up and up. What do you make of that when you hear that?
Well, dollars may be going up, but percentage may not be going up. And that's the real issue. And when you couple that with the impact of sequestration, where federal funding is at the level that it was in 2004, with inflation and a greater number of students in our schools, we are not at a higher level than ever before. And we have students coming to school with greater needs and challenges than ever before as well.
What do you think the funding answer is to that? Are we talking higher taxes? Or are we talking looking for some other type of revenue stream that may not involve any type of direct tax hike?
Well, number one, we've got to engage meaningfully, not in a political fashion. We've got to put people in Missouri first, and we've got to put our kids at the front of that line. And we've got to get over this myth that by decreasing taxes or by creating corporate tax loopholes, we're going to increase the possibility of businesses and corporations coming into our state. When a business or corporation looks at a state, looks at an area, what they look at is the health of the community. That includes public schools, it includes libraries, it includes roads, the infrastructure that supports citizens and the community. And as long as pieces of legislation like House Bill 253, that thank heavens the governor has vetoed, will pass, you know, it does not acknowledge what the real issue is. We've got to have true discussions about how to fund our public schools, and it is not by creating more tax breaks for the wealthy or creating more loopholes or tax breaks for corporations.
If the General Assembly overrides the governor's veto on 253, what do you see happening in the short term?
Well, we know that the funding for the services that our communities need will be greatly decreased. And, you know, we should not be following that path. They should be looking for ways to fund our communities and not decrease them. They should be looking for ways to encourage businesses to come. And as I said before, all of these tax breaks and changes in the taxes that they're advocating are not what's going to encourage more businesses and in stimulate the economy.
Let's talk for a minute about Common Core. The state of Missouri and DESE has been in the process of gradually implementing Common Core standards over the past, I believe, 3 years. And we've had bills in the legislature that have tried to stop the implementation of Common Core, or at the least require public hearings on it around the state before Common Core standards are fully implemented. What do you make of at least that approach?
Well, number one, there's a lot of confusion about it. And I think what didn't happen was that enough education, enough seeking education and learning about the Common Core took place. We're constantly told to increase the rigor for our students, and that is exactly what Common Core standards are going to do. I think that what's gotten confused in this whole piece is the assessment part. And so we know that this is going to require a new way to assess kids, but we also know that we have relied too heavily on high-stakes assessments, so, for example, in No Child Left Behind. And so there is a difference between the instruction that's going to happen as a result of these higher standards, which will bring greater rigor to what our kids are learning. I talked to an elementary school teacher a couple of weeks ago, and she was so excited about these standards because she said, what I'm being asked to teach my kids now is really pushing them to higher achievement than they've ever had. And they can do it. And isn't that exactly what we want to do, is prepare our kids for a global community, for a global society? And that these are going to exactly take us there. The standards don't tell us how to teach, and we've got to get it right on how we test once these standards are implemented. And I think that the U.S. Department of Education's announcement saying that they were going to give flexibility to states as we progressed in the teaching of the Common Core standards, that there would be flexibility given in the testing, that's great news. But I think that what's happened in all of these discussions and many of our legislators not understanding that these standards are a great thing. These standards are exactly what the legislature, what our community members say that they want for our kids, and that is higher standards and higher rigor. How we get there, we have to do that together. So educating the community and the community joining in on the discussions and learning about them rather than criticizing using misinformation has been distressing.
When you said global standards, someone might hear that and think one world government, some type of underhanded conspiracy to undermine America. What do you say to that when that gets thrown around?
Actually, what we want is global competence. And we also want our Missouri students, if they go to Massachusetts or they go to California, there needs to be some consistency in what we're expecting of our second graders and third graders. But it also gives local school districts and states flexibility. It's not telling teachers how to teach. It's not going to be one nationwide test. As a matter of fact, some states are choosing their own testing, and there are a few tests that are being offered. And so I think that that has all gotten confused in this whole discussion about what these standards are. These standards will help prepare our kids for a global society, but it's not about everybody learning the same thing at the same time. There's still going to be flexibility in teaching and recognizing that all of our students are different.
This is backtracking a little bit, but give our audience a simple, in a nutshell, definition of what is Common Core standards.
Common Core standards are in the area of math and language arts and or communication arts, and having some common things that students should know and be able to do in certain grade levels. So, you know, when we look at a fifth grader, what do we want a fifth grader to not only know but be able to do and have some consistency across the nation? If a child moves to another state or tries to get a job in another state, we certainly want our kids prepared to be able to stay in Missouri if they choose to do that, or go to another state and work and be highly qualified in order to be able to do that job.
Is there anything else you want to throw in that we may not have covered?
Well, I think that our two most important messages are, number one, investing in our children and our public schools is the most important investment that we can make. And I think that the legislature forgot that. There was a lot of rhetoric about our kids and their importance and our public schools and their importance. But I really think that it's time to actually prove that our kids are our priority. We've got kids coming to school hungry. We've got kids coming to school from poverty. We've got kids coming to school with all kinds of needs that we've got to have the resources to be able to meet and prepare those kids for whatever they choose to do. But I think that the other important message is that we want education reform done with us and not to us. And many times when talk about education reform, especially in the Missouri State Legislature or in Congress as well, they're talking about changing things, but they're talking about efforts at reform that are unproven. And if they would spend time talking to educators or spend a significant amount of time in one of our schools, they would understand that what's being talked about is not a realistic way to approach the kinds of issues and challenges that our public schools are facing right now. We need their support, we need to work together, and we're ready to work together.